Today we are celebrating a unique holiday. Well, not technically today, the actual holiday is later on in the week, but nonetheless, today is special, but in an odd sort of way. Even in a melancholy, almost sad sort of way. This holiday is not like the other ones. The other holidays on our calendar, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, they celebrate events that happened thousands of years ago, miracles that occurred in the time of Jesus and the heroes of old recorded in the Bible. They each mark an event on the long history of God's salvation of humankind. But today, we commemorate a different type of event. Today we are celebrating Reformation Sunday. And it stands separate from the other holidays because it doesn't commemorate anything that happened in the earthly life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mark any event in the early church. Instead, it is a holiday that, in the grand scheme of things, came into existence only very recently. It celebrates the Reformation itself, a movement that created Protestantism. You may have noticed the paraments, the cloth on the lectern, and my vestments are red today. We have been in the season of green for a very long time now because we are in what is called ordinary time. But today, all across the world, Protestant churches are decorating their sanctuaries in the vibrant hue of red. Now, we don't break out the red vestments very often, only on very specific holidays. Red symbolizes fire. Specifically, the fire at Pentecost when tongues of flame fell from heaven and the Holy Spirit alighted on the early church, blessing them with the gift of insight into heavenly things. Red is the color we use to symbolize prophecy and the Holy Spirit's active presence in this world. It's inspiration to the people of God. It's guidance and correction of those that seek to do God's will. But the Holy Spirit and its guidance are not merely a relic of the past. It's not just something that happened in Bible times. We believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and working in this world also. And today, we celebrate another time in which the actions of the Holy Spirit was visible in the history of the church. Today is Reformation Sunday, when we believe that the Holy Spirit caused the faithful of God to recognize the need to change. In the 1500s, after a millennium and a half of trying to do the will of God, the church had fallen into the inevitable troubles that plague any large institution. While many priests and monks and other religious people truly were intent on doing the will of God, the institution as a whole was in dire straits. There was corruption, and even worse, there was heresy. Parts of the church had become blinded to God's will by a desire for earthly power instead of a desire to serve their heavenly master. Parts of the church had succumbed to the temptation of greed. The most egregious, the worst of these actions was the habit of selling something called indulgences. Essentially, this meant paying earthly money with the promise that that would forgive sins and get you into heaven all the faster. It was a deplorable action condemned by all Christians today, but at the time many believed that it served the greater good of the church, raising funds for essential projects to glorify God. But this was the straw that broke the camel's back and sparked a revolution, or rather, a reformation. And we believe that guided by the Holy Spirit, the universal church was made better. By the teachings of the Holy Spirit, we were able to return to true faith. And that is why we have this holiday today, to celebrate the journey that the church is on, the journey toward the will of God. But it is also a melancholy holiday, because that Reformation movement, noble as it was, and even guided by the Holy Spirit, has left Christ's church fragmented and disunified. As necessary as it was, it has simultaneously made the church stronger and weaker. Stronger because true theology, true faith is being taught. But weaker because we are not united as Jesus said that we should be. And it is this that we celebrate today, the odd balancing act that we have, the willingness, even eagerness, to change with the understanding and an eye to tradition. We within Protestantism recognize both that some things must fall away, while others are important and even essential to our work of glorifying God. Jesus struggled with this same balancing act. He lived in a time of evolving traditions. Jesus' society struggled with a changing world. The Jews were under the control of a foreign and pagan power. And it was not at all clear how their religion, their faith in God, could survive. Some advocated for a strict, no-tolerance approach of traditionalism. They insisted that nothing needed to change. Even though the world around them was incredibly different, they believed that they could simply ignore it. Others believed that the only way to survive was to radically redefine what it meant to be Jewish. They claimed that the old traditions simply no longer worked in this new world, and they insisted that the only answer was to abandon them. Jesus seems to have been a moderate position between these two extremes. He emphasized the importance of the traditions while being flexible enough to change what needed to be changed within the bounds of Scripture and true theology. Our gospel passage today is very well known. The Pharisees test Jesus by asking him which of the 613 laws in the Torah is the most important one. Put another way, they are asking him which tradition of their religion is most essential. What could they bend on the least? What was the most irreplaceable? One can even imagine that they were asking him in a backward sort of way what could be replaced, what traditions could be ignored. In a society where some groups were trying to throw the whole of the law and tradition out, while others were actively trying to add to it, there is no answer to this question that will satisfy everyone. But Jesus comes up with a pretty good response. He gives the two most important commandments. One, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And two, love your neighbor as yourself. Clearly, much can be said on this. The most obvious being that these two laws pretty much sum up the moral teachings of the Old and New Testaments. You should love and serve God with all of your capacity. And you should care for your fellow people. And in the past several weeks, we have talked about how we should do those things. You should worship God by going to church and praising Him, and even in your daily life through your work and hobbies. You should love your neighbor by doing right by them, by caring for them when they are in need and being good to them. But today, I don't want to focus on how this passage teaches us to love God and neighbor. Instead, I want to focus more on what it says about Jesus, that He chose to answer this question like this, especially in light of the fact that we are celebrating Reformation Day. I remember vividly when I first learned that the phrase that we all associate with Jesus, the command to love your neighbor as yourself, was actually a quotation. Indeed, many people don't realize that when Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves, he was quoting my favorite Old Testament book, Leviticus. But I find it fascinating that he chose to do that. One of the most iconic and important commands that Jesus ever makes, a version of the Golden Rule, is simply a nod to the tradition that had been passed down for centuries. In this phrase, there is nothing truly new per se. Jesus doesn't give us a new command here. He's not saying anything that these people have not heard 1,000 times before. From other teachers, and yet that nod to tradition, that implicit statement that what our ancestors believed was important enough for it to be recorded in our Gospels. Despite the fact that Jesus merely repeats verbatim what the Old Testament says, the disciples saw that declaration as important enough to pass it on to the Gospel writers, and it has become iconic and almost synonymous with Christianity. If you talk to a non-Christian and you ask them to say one thing that Jesus said, they'll probably come up with this. And I find that really significant. It is significant that Jesus' famous statement is him acknowledging tradition. But at the same time, I find it interesting what Jesus leaves out. In other places, Jesus has declared that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So I would have expected his answer to be different. When they ask him which law is the most important, which is the least expendable, I would have expected him to say that they are all important. Each law, each tradition is vital in its own way. But he didn't say that. And that's very interesting, especially today. And that's very interesting. Jesus was walking on a tightrope, balancing between two extremes. On the one hand is slavery to tradition and an unwillingness to ever recognize the need for change. On the other is chaos, a rejection of all prior things, an unnecessary deviation from tradition only for the sake of rejection. And someplace in the middle is Jesus, balancing between these two extremes. Reformation Sunday is always exciting for me, but it is also always a little sad. I rejoice over the good that came out of it, the rejection of indulgences, the recognition of the primacy of faith. These are all great things. But at the same time, in some respects, I think we went too far. But more importantly, this raises questions for today. One of our denomination's mottos is Ecclesia Reformata, Semper Reformanda, which means the church reformed, always reforming. It expresses the understanding that the Reformation fixed a lot of problems, but that it did not make us perfect. The idea of always reforming is that we will never truly get there, never reach actual perfection, and the moment that we think that we do not need to change is the moment that we have failed to understand our own fallibility. And this is a great idea. We need that spirit, but at the same time, it's a balancing act too. Like Jesus, we must walk that tightrope, willing to change things that must be changed while still being uncompromising on God's truth. Reformation is a great time for us Christians, and especially Reformed Christians, to pause and ask ourselves about our own traditions. What are essential, true tenets of God that make or break our faith in Him that we cannot compromise on? And what are traditions that are less essential that may not be bad in and of themselves, but are not truly part and parcel to the worship of God. I suggest that you think about this question. It's a changing world in which we live, and it's a good idea to take inventory on the essentials of our faith. Just like you make a list of what is essential to bring with you on a journey, take stock of what is essential for your faith journey. If you're an organized type, write it down. If not, at least think about it. What is essential to our faith? What is not? What can we compromise on? What can't we? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.